Go ahead, Mansoor.
Thank you very much. What I would like to suggest that whatever we implement tonight hopefully would be temporarily for 2 months, 3 months to get more hard data on hand. Thank you very much.
Grace?
Okay. Let me swallow before I choke. Okay. I agree with Robin that Bill's amendment should end after the phrase arrangements for this, period, for two reasons. The first thing is the rest of that sentence talks about, I believe, membership database stuff, and also it says, and keep the SPC and PNB updated on other personnel hires, on other personnel hires. Now, we did, the PNB did pass a motion that has a hiring and spending freeze, so any further hiring or spending would have to be approved by the PNB first, until we have a budget for the national office and until we get our financial reporting done. So this intimates that it's acceptable for the executive director to hire without PNB approval. So it's contradictory to that PNB motion. So I think that the right thing to do is just end. Of course, I think we all agree to have some sort of part-time person as a national office person housed in the KPFA building, but we should also formalize that as a you know, an okay to hire such and such and such and such on a part-time basis. And I think that sentence, the words part-time should be in that sentence, at least temporarily. So I don't disagree with Bill's motion, except that I would not want it to be misunderstood to indicate that the hiring of a full-time person for the national office would be acceptable. So I don't know how we want to do this, but we can refer this, but we can postpone consideration of this whole thing until the next meeting, when we hopefully get reports from the National Election Supervisor, John L. Mella, Otis McClay, and Jonathan Alexander, about the state of the database, because that would be important to have before we go forward with this.
Grace, did you mean postpone consideration of the database functions, or postpone consideration of everything on the table right now?
Well, I think that it's necessary to authorize the hiring of a part-time office manager.
Well, I agree. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, I don't know what we want to do. I mean, Bill's amendment strikes out your sentence, doesn't it, Bill? Do we want to just move forward with Alex?
Sorry, I was muted.
Temporarily?
Sure. Sorry, I was muted, but your answer is yes.
Oh, okay. So,
can you, Bill, can you read your amendment again? My understanding was that it authorizes those functions to be carried out at the national office. My motion did not necessarily require that somebody be appointed with a title called office manager, as long as those functions got done, and that could presumably be someone who's currently employed at KPFA who takes on some additional responsibilities on behalf of the national office. That would be up to the executive director to decide how to do that.
Okay, you want me to read it? Okay, well, your motion, Alex, does end with, and this is the part that I'm going to change, be it resolved that a national office shall immediately be located in the available space in the KPFA building, and that a part-time office manager be hired to manage its affairs. So my suggestion is to change that to, be it resolved that a national office shall immediately be located in the available space in the KPFA building, and that personnel be coordinated with KPFA to ensure that daily functions, parenthesis including handling mail, looking up information, and handling legal summons be handled promptly and professionally. And then I think the suggestion from Grace is just end it there. Is that correct, Grace?
Sorry, no, that it should, the next phrase should be continued, and that the executive director keep the strategic planning committee and the PMB updated on arrangements for this.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
The only thing is, I think that it should be stipulated that if anyone is hired, it should be on a temporary part-time basis for two reasons. Number one, I don't think we may not have the resources to hire a full-time person in the national office. And secondly, if we do decide that it's the correct thing to hire a full-time national office staff person, be it a database administrator or a development director or anybody else, we wouldn't want to make the part-time position permanent. We would want to have the flexibility to have it be temporary. So your wording does not leaves it open that that a full-time hire could be made. I mean, in other words, if this committee wants to suggest that there be somebody who's an office manager possibly in a national office in the KPFA building, then it should be stipulated that's a temporary part-time position. Because I don't think we are ready to authorize a full-time the employment of somebody full-time on a permanent basis.
I agree.
Does that make sense? So how do we reword your amendment?
Can I jump in, Mansoor?
You have a suggestion for rewording the amendment?
I was going to recommend that I did mention that whatever we decide tonight should be temporary till we get more hard data on hand. So that was my solution to it. Thank you.
I agree with you, Mansoor, but we still need the wording for a motion because we do have a hiring freeze, and we need some kind of a motion to authorize a hire, basically. Robin?
Yeah, I would suggest just put part-time temporary personnel in that phrase where it says
yes.
That personnel. Just put part-time temporary personnel. Is that okay, Bill?
I'm just okay. What I've got now, be resolved the national office shall immediately be located in the available space at the KPFA building, and that personnel be coordinated with KPFA to ensure that daily functions, et cetera, be handled promptly and professionally, and the executive director keep the strategic planning committee and PMB updated on arrangements for this. And further, this is the new part, that part-time temporary personnel and the higher part-time temporary personnel be authorized to handle this. Is that okay?
I would make it simpler and just put before the word personnel at the beginning of the sentence there, just make that, that part-time temporary personnel be coordinated, and that makes it a lot simpler.
Oh, in that earlier phrase, okay. I see, okay. I'll email it to you in a second.
I'm sorry, this is Grace. Can I make a little adjustment?
Go ahead, Grace.
And that a part-time temporary person be hired in coordination with KPFA.
That's better, yeah.
I just got a question for clarity's sake. What's the rationale behind having it be in coordination with KPFA, and what does that really mean? Does it mean that we're doing that from a scheduling standpoint, or that we're sharing the responsibility of that employee?
I'll let Bill answer that question, or Grace, whoever wants to try to answer it.
You want me to go?
Go ahead.
You want me to go, Bill? Okay, well, you know, he might not necessarily need to hire somebody. I don't know. If there's somebody that has some extra time at KPFA, maybe just pay 10% of their time or 25% of their time from the national office budget for a while until we get this figured out. Or maybe two people, you know, that share the responsibilities. I just want to make sure it's handled when the primary person's not available for whatever reason. I mean, we can authorize the hire of temporary people. I don't think we should require the hire of temporary people.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I just want clarity on, am I co-hiring or am I just doing it from a backup scheduling standpoint? That's what I'm really trying to understand. Is this a shared hire that you're articulating by saying in coordination with KPFA? I mean, I'm not against either way. I just want clarity so I know how we're proceeding.
This is Grace with a SAC.
Grace, go ahead.
I think we should put both in there, that either a part-time temporary employee, national office employee be hired, or the other alternative that you stated, Bill.
Okay, you mean to read some more new language?
I'm leaving it up to you to write to do the language.
Really, out of time again. I think we've gone way over again. Does somebody want to make another motion to extend for 5 minutes?
Does Bill extend 5 minutes for this item?
Okay. Uh-huh. Any objection? Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Okay. What I have now is, be it resolved, the National Office is early. Immediately be located in the available space in the KPFA building, and that hiring of a part-time temporary person is authorized in coordination with using KPFA personnel to ensure that the daily functions, et cetera. Would that be all right?
This is Grace. No, it needs a little more tweaking, I think. Sorry, I'm jumping.
Okay. Let me just send it to all of you, and then you, Grace, you or whoever else can amend it, because I know it's hard to...
Can I make a suggestion, Mansoor?
Go ahead, Mansoor.
The language. How about something to the tune of work with a staff or hire a temporary part-time employee? Work with a staff of KPFK or hire temporarily part-time employee?
I think that's too vague. I think we want to authorize a part-time function, and we want to sort of give the executive director the flexibility to either hire somebody for that part-time function or add some new responsibilities to someone currently employed at KPFA who would also be have a second function working for the national office.
Yes, that's what I meant by either or. Either KPFK staff or hire somebody temporarily from outside.
It's not KPFK, it's KPFA.
KPFA.
Thank you for standing correct.
Okay.
Okay, I sent a Rev 2 if somebody wants to work on that some more.
Okay, do we have any final, any proposals for a final language, or should we go with whatever Bill has at this point? So you want to read what your final version, Bill? We know what we're...
Okay, and the point is to authorize, but not necessarily require, hiring a part-time person. Be it resolved that a national office be immediately that shall immediately be located in the available space in the KPFA building, and that hiring of a part-time temporary person is authorized in coordination with using KPFA personnel to ensure that daily functions, parenthesis, including handling mail, looking up information, and handling legal summons, close parenthesis, be handled promptly and professionally, and that the executive director keep the strategic planning committee and PNB updated on arrangements for this.
I think that's okay. It may not be perfect, but I think it's good enough. Does anybody have any objections to that? So why don't we go with this one?
Okay. Will that work for you, Maxie?
Oh, absolutely. I'm here to do the bidding of the board, so I'm fine with it.
Okay, so if there are no objections to that amendment, I'll just call it out one more time. Are there any objections to that amendment? Okay, so that amendment passes. So now we have to vote on the main motion. And do we need to read the main motion again?
No.
Okay.
That's the only resolved part of it. That's the only thing it changed.
Okay.
What I read.
Objections to the main motion as amended. Okay. So the main motion as amendment will go back to the PNB for final approval. And
I'm going to have to call back in, Nansir. Thank you.
Okay. We're done with this item, and obviously we can discuss at a later time the whole issue of database administration and what that's going to involve. So anyway, the next item on the agenda is underwriting. And it's going to be, and we have two motions on underwriting as well. And let me see if I can find those. Anybody have them handy, by the way?
I do.
You do? Maybe, would you mind reading them? I don't have them in front of me. At the moment.
Sure. Let me close this out and I'll do that. Okay. I'll read yours first.
Okay.
The first one was presented by Alex. It says motion on restricted corporate free underwriting. Again, motion on restricted corporate free underwriting. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of corporate-free underwriting to proceed at WPFW and WBAI for an 18-month trial. At the end of that period, the Pacifica National Board, together with Pacifica Management, will evaluate the effectiveness of the program. A template for an underwriting contract will be created by the Executive Director and submitted to the PNB for final approval. All underwriting agreements must use the template. Every proposed underwriting contract must be submitted to the Strategic Planning Committee of the PNB for their review. No agreement shall be entered into with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, or promotes racism or sexism or support for militarism, nationalism, or xenophobia. Our partners in underwriting will be nonprofit community organizations, small local businesses, and public interest and cultural foundations. Each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated with input from Pacifica's SDC attorney. An underwriter may not dictate the content of programs. An underwriter may support an individual program or a category of programs, for instance, music and arts. The station may only broadcast an acknowledgement of the underwriting grant either at the beginning of the program or at the end of the program. The frequency of on-the-air acknowledgements can be negotiated. The acknowledgement should not be longer than 10 seconds. submitted to the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board March 25th, 2019. So that's Alex's motion. You want me to read mine next, or do you want to discuss that first?
No, let's, yeah, read yours, okay. And then we'll just open the floor. And this is, okay. Let me just say, this is obviously controversial and complicated, and I don't expect we're going to be able to finish this discussion tonight, but let's see how far we go. Go ahead, Maxie.
Sure. So mine was submitted on the 26th, submitted with the following language, motion Pacifica underwriting policy. In an effort to resolve the question of if and how to implement underwriting throughout the Pacifica Foundation stations, I submit a motion for consideration along with PNB, LSB, and station management to actively facilitate policy oversight and compliance. In advance, thanks for your thoughtful consideration and adherence to the motion. I read a part that's a prelude to the motion. I'm sorry, here's the actual motion. Excuse me for that. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation is part of a larger public media ecosystem, and therein a member of greater public with access to resources, tools, and best practices to inform current and future approaches to underwriting, whereas Pacifica stations are fragile financially and exhausting audiences with an over-reliance on membership drives, whereas Pacifica stations need to develop additional revenue streams, and whereas Pacifica has an opportunity to strengthen strategic partnerships through four types of underwriting models, therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation will implement a 14-month piloting process to include all stations desiring to participate. In advance of the conclusion of the 12th month, the Pacifica National Board Strategic Planning Committee will review within 1 month the pilot stations and provide a recommendation regarding continuation, redefining, or termination of underwriting at Pacifica stations to the Pacifica National Board for votes. Pacifica Foundation underwriting policy will include, but is not exclusive to, the following. I'm not going to read all this since I think everybody has a copy of this, but I'd reference adherence to SPC policy acceptance and name some of the requirements therein. Adherence to SPC policy non-acceptance of, and it talks about no call to action, no price information, no inducement to buy, et cetera. Number three, underwriting spots are pre-recorded without exception and conforming to a limit of a 15 or 30-second mention. Stations can determine if music is allowed to supplement the spot. However, this practice is discouraged in an effort to create an uncluttered sound design. All spot breaks will include one of the following language options, and I list four. One example is programming on WBAI is sponsored in part by. Another says generous support of KPFA is provided by. And then the closing postamble would be and members like you, or and the generous support of member listeners. Number four, encouragement to explore and utilize the four types of underwriting. And I include grant maker, grantee, cause-related marketing, sponsorship, and message promotion. All these things are defined in a link that I present on this document. Number five, universally applied underwriting contracts, agreement, template with standard language as provided in the Appendix A, which I'm not going to read tonight, to this document and approved by the Pacifica Foundation SEC attorney. Additionally, contracts must be approved by station managers or general managers. Business managers or general managers. Six, monthly listings of underwriting clients provided to the local station board, the LSB, and inclusive of the following information: client name and contact info, agreement details, and some other information noted. And then number seven, finally, recognition that SEC regulations do not apply to underwriting mentions appearing online. However, IRS regulations and other laws may apply. Accordingly, Pacifica stations reserve the right to reject any online underwriter and or require revision of any online underwriting mentioned for any reason deemed appropriate and in the interest of its audience and members. I put additional language relative to underwriting policy can be added before, during, and after the pilot period per the existing motion amendment provision of the Pacifica Foundation bylaws. Furthermore, this policy and practices therein will be reviewed annually by the Pacifica National Board, submitted to the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board on Tuesday, March 26, 2019. There were three appendix, A, B, and C. One is an underwriting agreement template. Another is underwriting policy, a template for that, and then a job description for a sales manager for those stations that would want to hire someone to execute underwriting on their behalf. Additional considerations during the PMB station strategic planning committee conference call, multiple suggestions were introduced regarding concerns about the nature of potential underwriting clients. I suggested, but include in this document for further consideration, the following approach. I said, first, list of 100 pre-approved underwriting clients, and I give an example of how this could be executed, that the local station governing board would determine 100 pre-approved underwriting clients for the sales manager or the general manager to go after, and only those 100 pre-approved clients could be potential underwriters. There's more detail in the document, of course. Additionally, concerns were raised regarding the cost of performing underwriting to our stations. To that, I say you must invest to get a return on that investment. Perhaps our LSB can engage in solicitation of major donors who can cover the cost of hiring seasoned major market underwriting sales representatives. Perhaps stations can repurpose existing staff towards this revenue-generating opportunity. And then I include investing in underwriting representatives by saying, by taking advantage of our relationship with NETA and Greater Public, general managers can obtain market-specific salary ranges, qualification credentials, and appropriate job descriptions for an underwriting sales manager. Furthermore, the station should only consider salaried employment options, the Appendix C, for a job description for sales manager. And that concludes my motion, again, titled Pacifica Underwriting Policy.
Okay, the floor is open for discussion. Bill, who else? We'll start off with three. Anybody else?
Robin for the stack.
Okay, Bill, Robin, anybody else?
Donald for the stack.
Okay, that's the first three. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I'll try to be brief. I think you're right, Alex. We probably need to postpone this to the next meeting and discuss more by email. I tend to like Maxie's version a little bit more. I'd like to remind people that KPFT has been doing, you know, limited form of underwriting for about 2 years also. So if you're going to have a pilot program, you might want to include KPFT. I know it's broad. Well, I don't know exactly because we've been having a lot of trouble getting any financial information for KPFT for the last year, but I think they're still bringing in really minimal amounts of revenue from this. One thing about Maxie's policy, could you provide those appendices? Because I didn't get those. Those of us new to the committee didn't get the appendices that you referenced. And
yes,
also that link, the link in number four only works for people that have access to Greater Public. And so I guess everybody on the committee needs that. I don't have that yet.
Let me respond to that part.
Maxie, that was one thing I meant to ask you. I think everybody on the Strategic Planning Committee should get some kind of access to get into the Greater Public website and their information.
Right. So let me explain how that takes place. Every one of our stations, including archives and affiliates, has access to Greater Public membership. Through the general manager, any member of the board, any member of the local station board, can get access to the necessary password or credentials to utilize Greater Public's resources. So that's the only way you can get it. I don't even have that capacity because it has to happen through the stations. That's number one. I will certainly provide the appendix stuff, and I'll make sure that I send that out tonight.
Okay, and let me just add that there, in addition to the added documentation Maxi has, I also have a bunch of added documentation, but I didn't want to overwhelm the new members of the board by sending it all out at once. But I have templates from some of our affiliates who've gone into underwriting and how they do it, and I have model contracts, so I can send that out in the next few days. So it'll give everybody time to sort of mull over these issues. Okay, that's enough for me. And Bill, are you done?
Well, yeah, that's all for now. I guess we can talk about it in more detail later. But thank you, Maxi.
Okay. Yeah. I think Robin was next on the stack.
Yeah, well, my concern is, you know, for the whole history of KPFA in Pacifica, we've been a listener-supported network. And I know that a number of stations have, you know, weaseled around and done things in their fund drives where they have, you know, all these promotions. And I've heard, I mean, I don't listen to all the stations. There's people that stations have, you know, kind of had underwriting and so forth. But part of my problem is we have to have some kind of uniform story about what we're doing, why we're not a listener-supported, you know, why we're going to underwriting, you know. I mean, this has been our story that our listeners have donated for. And if we're going to do this, we have to have some kind of, whether it's Alex's proposal or Max's proposal, it needs to be explained to our listeners in a clear of why we're doing it. I'm opposed to it, personally. I think, you know, the story of being listener-supported, of being, you know, not having corporate support. Like I say, in our case, in Taos, we don't take any underwriting because a large part of the businesses in Taos are tourist-oriented. Tourism is destroying Taos. You know, so we take money from any of these tourist businesses, we have to start thinking about how do we cover development in Taos. And it's similar, you know, you can say you're only going to take it from small businesses, you're only going to take it from this. You start immediately getting into a conflict when you start taking money from people that that have business interests in the community, that have, it's very difficult to make up a set of limitations that prevents you from doing that. And if you're going to go have someone go out and sell this that works on commission, as I pointed out before, that's how most underwriting is sold, by commission, that person is going to try to get around the limitations because they want to make more commissions. It's just a natural tendency of anyone selling underwriting. It's just the way it works. So it's very slippery slope that you're going to get on, no matter what method you use. And I would argue that in the case of most of the Pacifica stations, you know, you're going to, you have the commission you've got to pay, you're going to lose a certain number of listener members because they feel that, oh, the station's now supported by underwriting, I don't need to donate anymore. So it, you don't, there's no way to quantify that, to know that that happened, but it's a very dangerous slippery slope. And I, even though Alex is, you know, much more restricted and sounds better, in the end, you're going to run into the same kind of problem. So that's just my opinion.
All right, thank you. Donald, I think you were next on the stack.
Mansoor would like to be on stack. Thank you.
Donald?
I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute. I was on mute. So first, thank you, Alex. And thank you, Robin, for sharing your insights as an actual station manager of a nonprofit radio station, be it an affiliate of Pacifica. So I want to begin with a fundamental question, which is, what is Pacifica? What does Pacifica Radio Network stand for? Does it stand for anything at this point in time? And if it does, what is it? So we here in the Bay Area are surrounded by five nonprofit radio stations in addition to ourselves. One is classical, one is all jazz, and the other two are NPR stations, KQED and KALW, all of them are accepting underwriting. And all of them spend significant amounts of time in fund drives. So the underwriting has not solved their issues of adequate funding, because they're still doing what we do. But we don't do what they do. Namely, we don't accept any form of underwriting from anybody under any circumstances. And guess what? Our listeners really, really appreciate that. And I can tell you, if it becomes known that Pacifica Radio Network is accepting underwriting at some of its stations, that's going to turn off a significant number of listeners here in KPFA, and we will lose revenue. And in that case, then our share of monies to the national office will decline, because our revenues will decline. Now, having said that, if stations in this network, in the Pacifica Radio Network, want to pursue underwriting, then we should seriously consider breaking up this network entirely and let each station pursue its own well-being. If they think that underwriting is the way that they're going to remain solvent, then great, then we should all go our own separate ways. Now, if we, on the other hand, believe that the Pacifica Radio Network exists to provide an alternative to the corporate mainstream media, then we have to act and behave in that way. And that is the way that some of us have been behaving for about 70 years. The additional argument I would like to make is that by pursuing underwriting, the network and individual stations are admitting that they have failed to figure out how to run a nonprofit radio network competently, meaning they know how to raise adequate monies by having good enough programming that people want to listen to. And if those stations cannot figure out how to do it, one of two things should happen. Either they sell off their assets or fire those people who don't know how to run those radio stations. I'll stop for now. I have more to say later. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald. We're ready for a new stack.
Mansoor would like to be on stack.
Okay, Mansoor. Who else?
Grace.
Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Mansoor.
Sorry, Alex.
Thank
Sabrina.
You.
Okay, Mansoor, Grace, Sabrina. Go ahead, Mansoor.
Thank you very much. I'll be very brief. I think what's most important is the mission of Pacifica and integrity of Pacifica, not whether we have been very limited, controlled underwriting. The mission is very important, and the integrity of our stations are important. Now, many events have happened and has brought us to this point that financially, we are hurting, and our fund drives are very low right now. We're looking at, give you an example for KPFK alone.
Yes.
Our daily average has, instead of being 22 to 25, right now it's at 13, 14, and 15. So either we fold or we look at different approaches in life. And again, integrity and mission. So I'll give you a couple of examples and I'll be done. Nation Magazine, a good source of information, runs ads in its papers and has said, look, we know our readers and they can make a judgment on their own. Harper Magazine does the same thing. So I don't think so. I would be fear of having underwriting, but how to control it and how to propose that section is more important. Thank you very much.
Grace?
Yes. KPFK has, I believe, because of declining listenership, because our listenership and our total revenue and net revenue graphs have been parallel most of the time, because I believe that there's been a drop in listenership over an extended period of time, of over 10 years, I'd say. And in my opinion, that's because the programming has declined. We still have a lot of great programs, but as I recall, 12 years ago, our programs were stronger and had more general appeal. At any rate, the core of the problem is, in my perception, lowered listenership because of our inability to improve our programming significantly enough to attract a larger audience. I think that's our major problem as a network. Now, that also dovetails with the PNB has wanted as a first priority to get our CPB funding back, and improving programming is a part of that effort, because if we don't improve our programming, some of our stations may not qualify for CPB funding. So rather than try to focus our attention on other income sources, which may be appropriate, but I think our first priority should be, and the board made its first priority, retrieving CPB funding, and then secondly, as part of that, would be improving listenership. Now, in terms of corporate underwriting itself, to my understanding, corporations, when they give money for underwriting, they peg it the same way that commercial radio stations peg advertising. So our value, the worth of an hour of programming bought by an underwriter or a corporation or whatever, would be pegged to our listenership, which if it's very low, we would receive very little in corporate underwriting, generally speaking. So, and we found at KPFK, for instance, we do have what we've been calling euphemistically corporate sponsorship or community sponsorship. So we have banner ads on our website that promote community events like concerts, theater events, whatever. However, that's been a very small part of our income. It has not been significant. And we've even gone beyond that, but it's not a significant part of our income. Tom Voorhees mentioned on one of our calls that the affiliates often take corporate underwriting, and it's generally speaking 3 to 5% of their income. It's not a huge chunk of their income. I would say before we embark on something like this, that we figure out what the upside is and what the downside is. Our general manager, Aniel Fields, sent out a survey to our members asking what they thought of corporate underwriting, or underwriting, not even corporate underwriting, I don't believe. I don't remember the exact wording. This was done a couple of months ago. And over 60% said no to doing underwriting. So we know that our membership is not in favor of this, and it has not been any great advantage to us financially, and it's also extremely labor-intensive. So being the fact that our brand, at least at KPFK and KPFA, is that we are not owned by any other outside vested interests, be they nonprofit, for-profit, or anything like that. We're not influenced. Therefore, we can say what we think. We don't have to curtail what we have on the air because of vested interests that are funding us. So that's really a part of our brand, our independence. And there could be a significant backlash in terms of reduction of listener support if we go in the direction of underwriting. But, you know, that's my personal opinion. I agree with Don, and certain stations don't have that as strong a part of their message as we have had at KPFK, and probably even stronger at KPFA. But before we consider this, I think we should consider really solving the problem in our network, at least at KPFK. Our listenership is way too low. That's really the big problem. I mean, you know, that's the problem. That's like cancer, and the lack of corporate underwriting is like a hangnail in comparison. The upside for underwriting is minimal And the downside for not improving our listenership is great, because we can't go on with the lack of support that our programming is receiving. We have to put programming on the air that people want to support. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Grace. Further discussion? Anybody else want to be on the stack?
Sabrina was on.
Oh, okay. Sabrina?
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, I definitely have to echo Don and Grace's sentiment. Pacifica Network, Pacifica Foundation, KPFA, KPFK, being the two oldest stations, WBAI as well, being the oldest of the stations, we have a brand. We've had a brand. KPFA's had a brand of, you know, listener-sponsored radio. We were the first to do it. And then you had all these NPR stations that were created after it. And that's not something that we can break from. We definitely will be running the risk of losing those listeners that we already have. And like what Grace said, you know, we'll be limited as far as our voice. I really feel that that is definitely a possibility. It is a quid pro quo situation when you're agreeing or entering into some type of underwriting agreement, period. You look at Comcast, they own CNN, and CNN has been doing nothing but, you know, towing the corporate line. That's not something we want to become. That's not something that we are, and it's not something that we should be. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Don for the stack, if nobody else is jumping in yet.
Go ahead, Don.
So I want to, now having launched my venting on the first part, I want to look at, so how can we look at how to raise revenue differently than we may currently be doing? So I'm not here touting the KPFA model as the end all and be all, so I say that as a preface. But there's one thing that we do that I don't know if it's unique per se. But during the year, we have speaker events of very prominent left and progressive either celebrities, personalities, or intellectuals who are writing books throughout the year. And we have a special speakers event throughout the year where people from Daniel Ellsberg on out come and talk to sold-out audiences of 700 to 800 people in a church in Berkeley or Oakland. So first of all, those programs are pushed on air. Those authors come on our programs either the day before or the day of the event and are interviewed on various of our shows. There are tickets sold to those events. That's part of the revenue stream. But even more importantly than the tickets sold, we capture on audio and video all of those talks. And then those talks are used as pledge premiums during our pledge drives. So I'm wondering how many other stations in the network use that model, if at all, or at least use those audio and video talks we have created on your own pledge drives, even if you don't have the capacity to do these events yourselves. So that's point one. Point two is, because this is all about how do we raise enough revenue to survive. So point two is, do stations need help in learning how to run competent pledge drives so that you're capturing every single person who wants to make a contribution, so that you're running premiums that people actually want besides soap and vitamin supplements? So that's a second question. The third point I want to make is that we are living in truly exceptional moments. We have fascism knocking on the door both domestically and around the world. Our environment is literally collapsing. And at the same time, millions of Americans are embracing the term socialism. The entire younger generation considers themselves socialists, whether democratic socialists or whatever flavor. All the polling data continues to show that. So my question to my fellow Pacifica mates here, if we are the radio network of progressive and socialist politics, why are we so incapable of capturing this audience at the moment? And what are we doing at each station to figure out how to capture them? And I'll stop there for the moment. And I think that's a viable alternative to going and knocking on businessmen's and businesswomen's doors asking for money. Thank you.
Don, let me just comment on your contribution, which is really a little bit off the topic, but it's very relevant in some ways. I can answer that the model for fundraising that you described, we do apply that to some degree, at least at WBAI. We do sponsor events that have well-known speakers, left-wing speakers, and intellectuals, and we don't get audiences of 700 or 800 like you do. We're not that fortunate, but we do have those kind of events. And from what I understand, they don't actually raise very much money. That's not the be-all and end-all of those kind of events. They do help give us a certain stature and a certain reputation in the New York area. But it's not, from what I understand, a major portion of our revenue stream. And in general, during fund drives, we have found that the political and educational premiums we offer, including recordings of events like that, don't do nearly as well as, what you call the soap and vitamin stuff. I mean, I don't like it either, but that seems to be the case in the New York area, at least. So if you or other people at KPFA have some guidance they would like to give us in New York about how to do this better, we'd love to hear it. I would certainly want to hear it.
And I think that's precisely the point, that we need to share our best practices, as Maxie puts it, of where we have been successful in specific stations, and offer technical assistance, for want of a better term, of how can you do this better? You know, because when you say, first of all, you didn't say whether you're recording those events, and then you did, and you said you use them as premiums, and you don't get a good response? Is that what you're saying?
They don't raise a lot of money, from what I understand. We could discuss this further when.
Yeah, we can do that offline. Sure.
General manager gets back from vacation. He's currently on vacation, but
great.
He can give us the actual figures on this.
Thank you,
Robin, to the stack.
Go ahead, Robin.
We employ that. Talks like that quite often. Amy has come 8 or 9 times, even before on the air, and we've raised a lot of money through her talks. David Barsamian's come. In a small community like this, when someone big name like that comes, you get a very good turnout, and it does help a lot.
Bill for the stack.
Yeah, well, maybe it's because we're in New York, and there's just a lot of things going on all the time in New York. We're competing against a lot of other events.
Donald for the stack.
Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I really appreciate what Grace said, and Robin and Donald. I've been willing to consider corporate or community sponsorships, mild form underwriting. We've been trying, as I said, at KPFT for a few years, and it is limited. The community sponsors are nonprofits. Some of them are bigger organizations like community colleges or the symphony or things like that. Sometimes some non-classical music groups and stuff. Occasionally small local businesses, but they really have brought in pretty small amounts of money. Really, I'm almost negligible. I think that's what Grace was saying. So, so if it's not going to accomplish what we need it to do, then I think maybe we should be considering limiting it. But we do have to, as Grace was saying, we have to get our programming better. And, you know, we have, at KPFT, we have some shows that do really pretty well in fund drives, but many of our programs just don't do hardly anything, even ones at good times. I'm just talking about middle-of-the-night programs. And I think that's a problem at some of our other stations, too. And we've got to focus on keeping our good programs, maybe even giving them more time, and the other programs either help the programmers do better or replace them, because we can't continue, at least on the air. And I think we should be providing more outlets through digital distribution. That is the future. That's what young people are listening to. Let them get to what they want to listen to whenever they want to listen to it, not necessarily when we broadcast it over the air and have several streams and, you know, more podcasts, make it easier for people to find them, and have better quality produced programs so that we don't have to. Some of our stations, not KPFT, and I don't think KPFA, but some of the other stations, and I don't think WPFW, but the others, I think, preempt really large amounts of the regular programming during fund drives because their regular programming doesn't get support. I think that indicates there's something wrong with those programs, especially if you have to do it on a really big scale. I know even PBS preempts some programs, but they don't do it, you know, they don't preempt 50% of their schedule. And anyway, this is a bigger issue we got to talk about. We need some more time talking about it some other time. But we do need to figure out how we're going to get our programming better so we can get more listenership, and that will in turn lead to more donations.
We're up into the stack.
Grace for the stack also.
Was there somebody else who wanted to be on the stack? I thought I heard somebody else.
Yeah, that was Donald.
Okay, so Donald, Grace, and then Robin.
No, I'll let them go first because I already spoke twice.
Okay, Grace.
Well, I think it's a worthwhile little detour we're taking here, and I'd like to say that I'm very happy that KPFA is doing well. I don't think that the KPFA model will work for KPFK, and I'll tell you why. This is part of it. I just did a little tiny research project while we were talking. According to the data that I just got on Google, there are 300,000 or more Koreans living in Southern California, 300,000 to a half a million Persians, 250,000 to 500,000 Armenians, 600,000 Russian speakers, 500,000 to 700,000 Chinese people, and at least 38% of our population is of Spanish heritage. And with some of these populations, and I've talked to people from these different communities, Ken worked as a computer programmer with a lot of high-paid other computer programmers from Russia, the Balkan area, Asian groupings. And first of all, you can't reach, in our area, you can't just assume that a socialist message will have any resonance with Koreans, who communism is a very dirty word to anybody who knows anything about North Korea. The same thing with a lot of Russians and Armenians. They have a bias against that type of political talk. It has to be broached carefully, understanding those populations. We have not done a good job of figuring out what our audience will resonate to. We're speaking to a shrinking audience in Southern California of progressives, in a sense. So there are lots of progressives, but they're not defining themselves in the ways that we seem to define ourselves. Anyway, I think the community advisory boards are a really great avenue to understand our potential audiences better. And I think we really have to rethink our programming very carefully, and also take in into consideration what our signal areas are composed of and what their interests are, and how we can enlighten them and educate them and get them motivated to take more responsibility as citizens. But it may mean changing our phraseology and not assuming that they agree with us, because a lot do not.
Branding. It's called branding. We need to read.
Okay. Sorry. Who was next on the stack? I forget.
I think I am Robin.
Robin. Yes, that's right. Go ahead.
I mean, I want to mention a brilliant programmer at KPFA that, you know, I don't think KPFA does this anymore, but Charles Armakanian was just brilliant in his music programming in the 70s. And so he had all these niche Armenian programs, Korean music. I mean, and the programs, I can't remember, it seems like there was like 50 different music programs over a month. And he would bring in someone who was completely expert in Armenian music. And when they did the pledge drives, they would have CDs from the top Armenian musicians, you know. I mean, he created this niche, these niche markets that supported KPFA, and maybe they only listened to that one program. But then when that program came on and they were doing the fundraise, they donated. So that's another approach of providing niche programming to these different communities. They might not listen to all this progressive talk. They just listen to things they're interested in. For example, we play Informativo Pacifica. It's all Spanish, coming from KPFA. I know a lot of our immigrant and Spanish speakers listen to that program. They probably do not listen to the rest of our programming. So you can do that kind of thing. The other thing I wanted to emphasize is there has to be much more effort to do major donor fundraising. A large part of us getting started were from family foundations, you know, fairly wealthy people that believed in the need for radio and made donations with no strings attached. And it takes work. You have to be able to talk person to person with these major donors. That's what Ursula is trying to do in terms of supporting the affiliate network. You know, it's hard work. It's the best kind of fundraising you can do. It takes the ability to be turned down flat by some donors. And that we don't acknowledge those people on the air at all. You know, it's like an anonymous donation, but it's made our station possible. So I've never understood why Pacifica doesn't have a whole range of major donors that support the Progressive News Network. It really should be something that we look at much more and more carefully and figure out how we can do that.
It's Donald, Alex.
Donald, go ahead.
Yeah. So when you said in New York you're not sure that audience exists, I was sort of taken aback. Because unless New York has been completely gentrified, and I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would challenge that notion, I think there are still large numbers of people who potentially could listen to WBAI in New York. Grace, I take your point. Let me finish. You can come back in when I'm done, Alex. I don't mean to put you on the defensive at all. I was just curious about the statement. I take your point about we don't have to advertise ourselves as a socialist radio network. We can certainly advertise ourselves as a progressive radio network because, regardless of people's ethnic backgrounds, 80% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And that's the people we should be talking to. Thanks. And we can still get major donors while we do that. But they've drifted away from us because they see a very dysfunctional network. And until they see it's stable and functional, they're not going to write checks.
Just to clarify, Donald, I didn't mean to suggest that there is no progressive or even left-wing audience in New York. There most certainly is.
as you pointed out, the election of Ocasio-Cortez, the fact that we have several DSA chapters that have some anywhere between 5 and 10,000 members in the New York area. So there's certainly a potential audience here, but I was just speculating as to why we don't get 700 or 800 people to our events like apparently you do at KPFA, and I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, but I was speculating that perhaps one possibility is that we are in the New York area and there's hundreds of events, many of them that could potentially attract a left-wing or progressive audience that we have to compete against. So that could be one possibility. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's true for us here also. That was my point, actually. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I'll leave that as it is. Any further discussion on this?
Alex, this is Maxie. I just wanted to make a point of clarity.
Go ahead, Maxie.
When I applied for this position, I was very clear that as an organization that did not accept corporate support or any form of underwriting, that Pacifica should aspire to be the most dominant non-commercial media enterprise with respect to individual donor support and major giving. So this entire discussion around underwriting is not from a motivation of applying underwriting for the sake of underwriting. It is an understanding that we are woeful as an organization with respect to individual donor support, whether it be sustainers, whether it be small donors or major donors. We do not employ best practices. We have not done that for quite a long time, which speaks to the fragility of our membership at all of our stations, with the exception probably of KPFA. And so I just want to make it very clear that I don't think either Alex or myself are advocating in any form or fashion for corporate support. And it blows my mind that that term keeps coming up in these conversations. It's like you don't hear that being articulated. Alex, in his document, specifically spoke to non-corporate underwriting. I have done the same repetitively when we had the people from Greater Public present to this committee and to the national board. We talked about corporate support not being a part of the underwriting equation. So it blows my mind that we continue to go back and forth on this notion of corporate support and the ills of it and the potential pains and trauma of it and the bad this and that and all the scare tactics that are employed to get us to move off that. I would think your arguments would be much more strength. They would have a lot more strength. They would be stronger if you could avoid the scare tactics and speak plainly to the real issues here. Without diluting it with these misnomers. I also want to point out real quick, that in the Bay Area, KQED does not spend nearly the amount of time doing pledge drives as KPFA does. I know this for a fact. And I know that no public radio stations spend the amount of time that Pacifica stations spend on membership drives. It's one of the anomalies of our network that we have 5 and 6 drives a year and they last almost a month at a time. No public media station worth its salt does that. They're looking at how they can do single day drives. Most of those drives last 2 weeks at best. So we cannot compare apples to oranges or apples to apples with respect to what's happening with traditional and well-oiled public media. I'm not saying we're trying to replicate them. I'm never saying that, because that's not what the goal is here. It's to define revenue generation on Pacifica's own terms. So I say all that to say that I'm all for us focusing our efforts on individual support, major donor support, foundation support that's appropriate, etc. The reason why this whole conversation came up is because the reality of the fact is that several of our stations are doing variations of underwriting without a policy in place. And so we have KPFK in a deal where they do a trade with the LA Times. Is that a problem for you? They're corporate as hell. But we're doing that. It's a trade. It's still underwriting. I don't care what you want to call it, it's underwriting. We have an individual in Houston, Texas, who was caught doing underwriting under the table. You think he's the only one doing that in our system? Who is making mention of businesses that were giving him a kickback because he would mention their names during his programs? I guarantee you, any music programs you have are doing that. So the whole point of this exercise was not to advocate for corporate support. That was not mentioned in either one of these motions. The point of this exercise was to say, we need to put a policy in place for any station that chooses to employ underwriting. Because if we don't, we subject ourselves to SEC fines. Because if they heard some of the language that's used for what we're not calling underwriting, we could be fined for it. There are announcers on our air, and I hear it because I listen to all the stations. There are announcers on our air right now who talk about qualitative attributes of organizations, businesses in their community. I've heard prices mentioned for events and activities. All of this is a no-no. And yet it happens on Pacifica Station. So we can play dumb and pretend it's not and continue to not have a policy and hope that no one ever pulls us up on the fact that we're exhibiting underwriting tendencies and doing it improperly. Or we can address this in a way. I mean, look, KPFA may never, ever do any form of underwriting. And that's great. WBAI may desperately need it because they don't have the institutional exposure or the institutional reputation that KPFA has in Berkeley. BAI is a shell of what it used to be. They had 500,000 listeners per week 10 years ago. They're 80% less now. Okay? So let's be real clear. We have at least two, probably three stations that desperately need additional revenue streams, who in the next year are not going to recover because of making their membership drives better and probably don't have in-house any resources to become efficient and effective in going after grants, even if we get compliant with CPB and even if we finish our, which we're going to do, our audits. We don't even have the institutional build. There's only one development director in the entire network. So let's be real clear. Sometimes you need an infusion of cash to even build programming, to build the necessary parts to make having local news a reality or a consistent public affairs show that is your signature public affairs program. Continue to program public affairs and our schedules in this patchwork form, and you're going to always struggle to build audience. Historically, it is proven that that is not the way you build audience with radio. So I'm going to leave it at that. I didn't want to say as much as I did, but I refrained from speaking during most of this conversation because I realized that there are some people who want to continue a narrative that is either false or based on something that we've already excused from the conversation, and that's corporate support. So if people want to continue that narrative, I really have nothing to say. But if we want to have a real serious conversation about this and the realities of this organization, let's do that. And let's come up with a motion to have our LSBs do some fundraising to get development professionals in our stations so they can actually go about the parts of developing revenue streams outside of underwriting for the benefit of our stations. Because right now, none of our stations, with the exception of KPFA, is built for it.
Okay,
this is Grace Kupchak.
We're basically out of time, but I'll take one more round on the stack, and then we'll have to be done.
Donald for the stack.
Okay, and Grace for the stack.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay. I think what you're saying is very valid, Maxie, and there may be confusion in terminology. Many of us have are really committed to the brand, the Pacifica brand of independence. That's a really strong part of our identity as a network. However, and when we say corporate, when I say corporate, I mean nonprofits are corporations too. The Pacifica Foundation is a corporation. Just because something is, when I say corporation, it can include nonprofits. There are many right-wing nonprofit funds and foundations that donate in order to influence media in a certain direction. Yes, there's Starbucks and there's Macy's and there's Exxon. Those are for-profit corporations and Pfizer, but there are also nonprofits that are might try to control our programming. So the distinction, I don't see the distinction. So we need to figure out what our terms are. The most persuasive argument would be, what is the upside to corporate underwriting? You are absolutely right. It is a problem at KPFK. We're premium-oriented, and to some degree, that could be construed as advertising for whatever those premiums are. It is a difficulty. But the point is, what is the upside? From what I've heard, there is not a lot of upside to corporate underwriting, and it's very labor-intensive. So especially if we narrow it to socially correct or socially responsible corporations, nonprofits, whatever you want to call them, anything we would be getting money from is a corporation. Even if it's the opera, it's still a corporate entity. So I understand what you're saying. I think you're meaning for-profit corporations. But all corporations fall under the term, nonprofits fall under that terminology as well. So I think we may be misunderstanding each other. You may be saying something that's different from what we're saying or what we think of when we think of underwriting.
Yeah, I think those are valid points, Grace. I'll just point out this. Every media organization does its best to create firewalls so that content is not influenced by its supporters, whether that's individuals, corporations, nonprofits, etc. So if we're a legitimate media organization and we have a strong message in our content, we can certainly build the firewalls to prevent any kind of influence on our content. So I don't worry about that. I'm not afraid of that consequence, because if you decide you're not going to be influenced by corporate support, you aren't. You just decide that. You can laugh all you want. I mean, I've worked at a lot of organizations. I ran organizations, as have you, Robin. And what I know for a fact is, you know, I had one salesperson in Baltimore who in 1 year generated well over $350,000 in that year of non-corporate underwriting. She made her money by creating relationships with the Caribbean community and with small businesses in and around Baltimore City. And that revenue was dramatically impactful in our ability to create local news programming. And allowed us to establish a brand for ourselves in the market that was, until that point, something that we never were able to own, and that was being a real provider of news and information from an African-American perspective. So my point is, there were no corporate underwriters for us. We had nobody like an IBM or a bank sponsoring us. We were very clear in terms of who we went after. They were local vendors who were serving the community. And that's who supported our station. A lot of them were events who were coming to town. It might be a promoter who's working on some reggae band or a jazz band, because we were a jazz station. But my point is that this can be done in a structured way it eliminates a lot of the things that I think people have brought fear and concern about. And this notion that you have to be influenced by the corporations or the funders, that's not accurate. You could be if you wanted to, but what you can do is simply say, look, nobody contributing funding influences our program. And if you're not comfortable with that, you can stop underwriting. I mean, that's how that's done. So, you know, laugh all you want, Robin, but at the end of the day, you're only corrupt if you came into the game corrupt.
Okay. I think, Donald, you wanted to say something else?
No, I think we're done for this evening. Obviously, this conversation is going to go on for a while, so I'm happy to have it end here for the moment, and then we can write whatever we care to write.
Yeah. I kind of agree. We are definitely at loggerheads here over this issue, and part of it is perhaps a lack of communication. Part of it is simply there's some very strong feelings here. I'm not going to try to analyze it at this point.
Good.
One thing before we adjourn, I would like to know your preference for when we're going to meet in the future. And last time around, we were meeting on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. Do you want to try to keep to that schedule? Anybody?
I like Mondays. Does anyone else?
They work fine for me.
How many other committees meet on Mondays?
Personnel does.
Sometimes the audit committee meets on Mondays, I think, and
yeah,
and the personnel committee seems to meet whenever they get an open slot.
Yeah, and I'm on both of those as well. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
But lately they've been meeting Tuesdays. I think if we just grab the spots on Mondays, we'll have it mostly. Okay, so I'll schedule. Let's see. We'll have one more meeting this month.
Yes, Bill.
Yes. Bill.
I see personnel for June. Personnel is scheduled for the first and second Monday, and audit is scheduled for the first Monday. Those are the only national committees on Mondays for next month.
Okay. Well, we'll the personnel committee is going to have to move off Monday because they used to be on Tuesday. I don't know why they're going on Monday because that really does conflict with us.
I'll work it out,
but we'll try as best as we can to meet on the second and fourth Monday, or at least let's put it this way, twice a month on a Monday. Okay.
Yeah, Mondays
Thank
are fine
you,
with
Alan.
Me, but
all right. So do we
Thank
have a
you,
motion
Alex.
To return?
So moved. So moved.
Have a good night, guys.
Okay, no. Good night.
Thank you all.